I would like you to consider how you would feel, and you don't need to raise your hands or anything like that, but just how you would feel if when your birthday came, nobody acknowledged it, nobody got you any cake or anything like that, and there wasn't even the slightest acknowledgement that it was your birthday. Now, I understand a lot of people don't like parties. I hate them. But how would it feel like if nobody even thought enough to say, hey, it's your birthday, happy birthday? And I think the majority of us would be somewhat hurt. And what I would like to ask you to think through is, why? I mean, objectively, your birthday is no different than any other 24-hour period. If you were to have it scientifically analyzed, your birthday would be no different than any other day. Random weather patterns, people go to work, probably normal Saturday or Sunday. Nothing is special. Yet, you don't feel bad on those other days when nobody acknowledges and says, happy birthday. But what is it that is actually being done on your birthday? I was watching last night an episode of The Big Bang Theory. I really like that. And one of the characters, I can't remember his name, the guy who lives with Sheldon. Anybody remember his name? Leonard. Another one. Okay. Leonard. If you haven't watched Big Bang, it's really quite fun. But Leonard has a mother who is a psychiatrist, and a fairly cold psychiatrist. And Leonard is in a conversation with another therapist, and he says, my mother never let me celebrate my birthday. As a matter of fact, she said that I should give her a gift on my birthday. She says, it was she who did all the work. I didn't do anything. And so she insists on me giving her a gift on my birthday. Well, that's one way to interpret it. But think about this. What is actually happening on your birthday, and why is it that we are celebrating it? And the reason is, it's a day in which, whether you know it or not, we are acknowledging publicly that we are glad that you are alive. That's what's happening. We are publicly acknowledging, publicly meaning within your family or stuff like that, but we are saying, particularly by saying happy birthday, is we are glad that you are here. And that's why, when you don't hear that from anybody at any time, you feel bad. Now, the people in your life, if you say something, the people in your life could go, oh, Mom, or oh, Susie, or Dad, oh, come on, you know we love you, we don't have to tell you. But that's wrong. Even when people love you, you need to hear it. You need to hear it. In some way or another, the human being, even though the human being may know that something is true, needs to have it expressed in an outward way that the senses can appreciate. That's why the cake That's why the candles. You know, that's why we spend money on all kinds of things. For example, a wedding. When you're getting married, the only thing that you need to get married, at least in the Catholic Church, the only requirement is that you and your fiancé be here, that a Catholic priest, if you're Catholic, if you're a Catholic priest, witness it, and two other witnesses. Period. Period. No dress, no bridesmaids, no party, no nothing. So why do we spend so much time and get so excited when you could just as easily just get married and, you know, that's it. You don't even have to tell anybody. Because we need other people to acknowledge our happiness and our moving from one transition of single to another. The ceremony means something. Notice in the case of the birthday celebration, and in the case of the wedding, what you are actually doing by enacting what many would consider an empty ritual. It's not empty. The only thing that you could say is you can't see what's happening unless it is shown by an outward sign. The day of your birthday, the day after your birthday, you are still the same person. You don't look any different. Nothing has, quote, changed. And so we could come to the conclusion that we just had a meaningless ritual. But it wasn't meaningless. It wasn't an empty ritual. If people were there who were glad that you were alive, you got the meaning. And that's why you were sad if it doesn't happen. Or in the case of a wedding, if nobody cared to come, it would hurt. And you could go on and on and on like that with all kinds of things that we do in life that from one perspective you can say, oh, for God's sake, that's a useless ritual. Boring. What do we do on your birthday? Happy birthday to you. And then we light a stupid cake and eat and that's it. Go home. We need it. People need that meaning be communicated on a regular basis. It's not enough for you to love me. It's enough. It has to be. You got to remind me. You got to tell me. You got to show me. It's not enough for me to intellectually know that. We don't live in that kind of world. I always like to use the example. I imagine a little kid, maybe a little girl, comes up to me, say 5 years old or 6 years old, and has picked a little dandelion. Now, for those of you who don't know what dandelion is, it's a weed and has a pretty little yellow flower, but it's a weed. But she's picked this little dandelion flower, and she comes up to me and she says, "Father Mario, this is for you." And she looks at me, and I look at that child, and I'm going to tell her the truth. Okay? The truth. Kid, or my dear little girl, that is a weed. If you're going to give me a flower, I would appreciate that you not give me a weed. So thank you, but I don't want it. It's a stupid weed. Bring me something worthwhile. Did I tell her the truth? I did tell her the truth, didn't I? Or I could super be nice. "Oh, sweetie, that is such a pretty flower, but it's a weed. So thank you, but I don't really want it. okay. How's that? That was nice. I told her the truth. What do you want me to do? You want me to lie? You want me to lie? You want me to say, oh, sweetie, thank you very much. I will treasure this forever until you turn your back and throw it in the trash. What's missing? I am not recognizing in doing that the little girl, in giving me that little, objectively, a weed that is worthless, when she's giving it to me, that is a transfer of invisible and spiritual meaning. What is she saying? She's saying, in some way, I love you. And what I did by reacting only to the physical part is I missed the greater depth. I missed what was being carried through that little dandelion weed. Because you see, no longer was that little dandelion weed just a little dandelion weed. It was now the very presence of her love for me being given to me. And I missed it. Because why? Because I didn't look deeply enough into the meaning of the ritual of giving another person a flower. Every time that you miss the deeper meaning of a ritual, you go away thinking, it's stupid. It's not the ritual that's stupid. It's you. I love, there's an old joke which I really love. Three young men are standing in front of the Mona Lisa in the museum, and they're all joking and laughing and, you know, making fun of the painting. And the guard comes up to them and says, young men, the worth of the paintings and the art of the painting is not on trial here. Your taste is. And that's what is on trial. When you miss the meaning of a ritual, it's you, not the ritual, that's at fault. Because you have failed to look deeply enough. Now, why am I talking about this? Because today we're celebrating the baptism of Jesus. And it brings up the whole question of baptism. And so, think about that. Whenever we baptize, there is a big baptismal font right in front of me. A tank full of water. Please understand, that is what's called holy water. But it's not from Jerusalem or anything. Okay? That's Houston water. Right there. Okay? So the question is, what makes it holy? And what makes what happens in baptism? In baptism, if you look at it, people bring up, they dress the baby up in funny clothes. And they bring the baby up and I pour water on the baby and I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of the kids, I always get a big kick out of the kids when they're a little older. Some of them get real scared. Well, wouldn't you get scared if your parents picked you up and held you over a body of water? You know, the kids think they're going to be thrown in. And they're starting screaming and screaming. And sometimes I'm going, oh, Lord, is this good? Because the kids are going, sometimes they're going, oh, no, no. But what's happening? When I'm baptized, nothing happened. You can't see a thing. But what is happening? Go back to what I just said. And what's happening is what you can't see. And what you can't see is that at that moment, God is allowing you to see an outward sign of what is happening invisibly in the Spirit of God. And what's happening in the Spirit of God? And the Spirit of God exactly what is happening in the gospel is occurring to you when you were baptized. What occurred in the gospel when Jesus was baptized? Who spoke? It wasn't Jesus. Do you remember who spoke? It was God. And what did God say when Jesus was baptized? You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. In baptism, what happens is that in the gift of water, through that physical sign, like the cake and like the little dandelion, through that physical sign, God is speaking. God is speaking. It's not the problem that you can't. The problem may be that you can't hear it. I often imagine a person with a radio, and can you see radio waves? Can you hear them? No. Until you turn the radio on and tune to the right station. It actually takes a little work. You gotta know that you gotta turn the power on, and then you gotta either punch the button or get it to the correct, to synchronize where the information is coming through. If you come to any church ritual, the Mass, and you are not tuned in to what's happening, you will say, I only hear static and I see a boring ritual. And why? It's not because nothing is being transmitted. It's because either you're, by mistake or by laziness, not synchronizing into the exact frequency in which the meaning is coming through. And ultimately, even Jesus, notice that, even Jesus, who did not need to be baptized. He didn't need to be baptized. He's God made human. He said, Jesus says, in another reading of the same account, he says, let it be so for the sake of propriety. Why? Because it was at that moment that the beginning of the revelation had to occur, where God had to say, you are my beloved Son. Here I am making my commitment to you. When a baby is baptized, for example, periodically we get the criticism from, especially from Protestants, who say, well, you know, why don't you wait until the baby is old enough to make their commitment? Okay, the baby has absolutely no idea what's happening, right? Agreed. But the fundamental mistake is this. It's not the baby making the commitment. It's not, even if you're baptized as an adult, it's not you making a commitment. It's God saying to you, you are my daughter. You are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased. You are my beloved son. It's God who is making the commitment to you. Sooner or later, you will have to accept, reject, or whatever you want to do. And that's normal. That's totally normal. Think about it. When your child was born and you brought him home, first of all, did you get his permission to bring him home? No. You just took him. He didn't choose you. He didn't even know who you were. You could have given him to a stranger and said, this is your mama, and the baby would go, okay. Because he doesn't know. When it was time to feed him, did you say, well, Sonny or sweetie, we're not going to give you any food because we don't want to prejudice your palate? No. You said, open your mouth, and you stuck something in it. When it was time to go to school, did you go up to your son or daughter and say, sweetie, would you want to go to school, or do you want to be an idiot for the rest of your life? No. You don't ask. You say, do it. And why? Because the adult, the more mature, always makes decisions for the immature. When it is between us and God, God doesn't wait for you to be committed to him. He commits himself to you before you even know it. And that's what's being celebrated today. In baptism, when you were baptized, and I was baptized when I was a baby. Cute, I was super cute. I had hair, I was just a beautiful baby. Okay? And when I was baptized, I have no idea what happened. I've seen a picture of it, but I don't remember it. But I know, even though I don't remember it, I know that on that day, God said, "You, Mario, are my son. You. I am making a commitment to you." That's what happens. And for the rest of my life, even till today, I still feel the experience of God having made a commitment to me when I didn't even ask for it. Now, it took me a long time. For the first 20, 21 years of my life, I thought the whole thing was garbage. But just because I had given up on God doesn't mean that God had given up on me. And he was waiting until I crashed and burned. Usually that's what happens. You crash and burn, and then you go, "Oh, I didn't get it." And so what we're actually doing today is that God in your life has said to you, "You're my daughter. You're my son." Whether you realize it or not is not the issue. Sooner or later, you'll get it. Because it wasn't just an empty ritual. It was the Lord of this universe specifically looking at you, not in general, you, and saying, "I make a commitment to you. And I will be with you even when you try to kick me out of your life. I'm not going anywhere. I make a commitment to you." Why? Because I love you. And I refuse to have this universe be without you. That's baptism. Once again, I have no good ending. Thank you for listening.